don't rain all day.
Mm, Van Morrison.
Van Morrison. I love Van Morrison and so Stone much. Me. Yes.
And, it, you know, it, on this day in 2003, he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Was he really?
Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, I love Van Morrison.
I do, too. I think Brown Eyed Girl is about me.
He told me.
I was just in Ireland and I was looking for Van to hang out with so he could tell me why he wrote that song about me.
He did. No, I'm sure he it had to be me. Right?
Great little black girl in Baltimore.
That's it.
You gotta talk about moon dance, don't you?
Oh, what a wonderful day for a moon dance. Yeah.
There's a lot of Irish boys that got some soul.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I work with them. I have a band over
there. So I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
And this is our time of the month together.
It
Cultural
is.
Cultural Crossroads.
I know.
And that voice over here, we know.
I'm Doc Manning.
Doc Manning.
Yeah, listen to that voice. Well, how are you?
The tradition here in WEAA.
Thank you.
And partner at Andy Musique.
Yeah.
I was there last Sunday.
Yeah, and that's what I want to apologize for. Usually I'm always moving through and I didn't get to see you. However, I wanted to say that is an honor and a pleasure being in the studio with you because I remember seeing you on the Eastern Shore at a concert there. And,
Years ago.
Yeah, but about four or five years ago, maybe.
Maybe more. Yeah.
It seems like, you know, when you get past a certain age.
I'm there.
But Mark and you guys, I mean, you've been working this for so many years, but it is a reflection of, like, music. When we think about music, we think about something distant sometimes, but everything you do talks about, tells these stories about your experiences. So when you sing gospel and blues and all that other stuff, I said, and you're always in the community, you're doing this, politics, society, and that sort of thing. That all that comes through the music.
It truly does.
And when I see that happen, I said, she's in it, you know. So
That means so much coming from you.
Well, you know what? I mean, you guys inspire me, so I just want to make sure you knew that.
It's definitely mutual. Yeah.
Same here, brother. You know that. And I always like to people don't know why your people call you Doc. I always have to tell them.
Because he's amazing.
No. Because he was. In Vietnam, if you were a medic. You were all the guys in the platoon called you Doc.
Yeah.
He was a medic during the war in Nam.
That is so impressive.
Yeah. That's why he's Doc Manning.
And you know, it's so funny you mentioned about Docs. You know, we're talking about that. This Father's Day upcoming concert. There's a gentleman, Warren Wolf's father, was with me in college, at Coppin State College, and he was a medic. He was a doc in the infantry with the 101 Airborne, and I was a medic with the infantry with the 173rd Airborne.
Did you ever come in contact
with
each other?
Just met in college, and we just and he was a part of the Cotton State Jazz Ensemble, and everything went from there. And we just talked, and it was weird us talking to each other and knowing where we've been, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely some type of synergy going on there.
All kinds of strange things in this world.
Honey, I am the epitome of strange things. I personify.
I will say that, but how deep do you want to go into that one?
Well, you know, this is on the air. They have issues with certain type of stories. You know what I'm saying?
So let's talk about Andy Music.
Man, it was my first time there.
I was wondering. I had never been there.
I had
to be out of town, and it was very difficult because I thought about it. I said, I don't remember her being there, and I'm saying that how she handled that because it's a nice house. It's quaint. It's nice.
It
and
was
acoustically
wonderful.
Sound. And I said, I wonder how she's feeling.
It was so different for me because it is so intimate. And you can actually see people.
Yeah.
You know, usually I can't see the first. I only see the first two rows in the venues we play. But it is one of the best venues here in Baltimore. Definitely, definitely the intimacy of it. You know, these chairs are like armchairs. I couldn't get over it. It was so wonderful, and I was so honored to be a part of it. And I hope that I can work out my schedule to be there in October for the American Standards show.
Yeah,
that'll be good. And this weekend, though.
This weekend's going
to
be good.
We have Doc's here to talk about it, but Dr. John Lampkin's on the phone. He's a drummer participating in this Sunday's event, director of bands and coordinator of music education at University of Maryland Eastern Shore. John Lampkin, good to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here.
Hi, welcome.
All right.
So talk about this father-son thing happening this
weekend.
This
is great.
What is going on?
It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be it's going to be this coming Sunday at 8 o'clock. And you know the reason why it's going to be at 8 o'clock so late in the afternoon is Warren Wolf, Chris Fun, and my son John are in playing at a jazz festival in Mexico.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you're right. You're counting on the planes to be on time.
There's hope that the plane touches down in time.
Honey, I know. I've been there.
Right. But this is something we've been thinking about doing for a long time. And we've
it's
been
a great idea.
Right. Amongst the fathers and the sons. Mm-hmm. And Henry at Ande Music, we've been talking about it, and as a matter of fact, he and I had a few meetings about it, and so it just came to fruition this Father's Day, and we're really, really looking forward. We have five sets of fathers and sons.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Five sets.
Warren Wolf and his father.
Yeah.
Tom Williams and Whit Williams. Whit Williams is the jazz guru in Baltimore. Now, Doc Manning is...
Oh, yeah, I've played with him, Whit Williams.
...is a consummate ethnomusicologist. But Whit Williams is the guru. You go to Whit and you hear all these wonderful stories about who he's played with and who he's talked to in Baltimore and how he played at the...
He's
Royal
amazing.
Theater. Oh, and he's been and all these guys that he played with, and he's still playing. Whit is still...
Yeah, I played with him a few years ago, and I was just in awe. I was like, this can't be happening, Leah. Pitch yourself. But it is. It was. And it did. He was just amazing.
Right. And then we have Charles Fun and his son, Chris.
Oh, yes.
And Charles is the band director at Dunbar High School. He's been there forever and is going to stay there forever.
Yeah. He's well known,
and has cranked out a number of musicians who are jazz musicians in their own right in and around Baltimore and outside of Baltimore. There are many students of his who are carrying on the tradition of the music. And then there's also Rodney Kelly Sr. and his son Rodney Kelly Jr. Rodney Kelly Sr. is a guitar player. Rodney Kelly Jr. is a piano player. And if you've not heard him play, you're going to be in for a treat. He's a wonderful player. So we're just going to have a ball. It's going to be one long jam session. I don't think we're going to take a break. We're just going to play.
I mean, I was going to say, if the people may go there and have to sleep overnight and not go to work.
Yeah, but they can because it's so comfortable.
I took the next day off. I had been put in for vacation.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know. Going to see them 8 o'clock on a Sunday. You can get it. You plan it well, but you're going to see something. What you're going to see is a bunch of individuals get together in the conscious of one another.
On stage.
Most of us don't understand. I understand. I get it. If they can pull it off and they're dialoguing between one another, just like you and I, Mark, we're in there having a conversation on the air with John, they're going to be doing it right in front of you on stage. And any mistakes or anything they make that they think as musicians are mistakes, they're going to resolve them right there in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's and then the wonderfulness gonna talk about live music.
You can't, the person, you can sit up and look at you and see how eyes move around. You might do something, make a flinch or something. I'm fascinated by that. Because when I was a kid, your parents told you, listen, look, be quiet, and you keep your mouth open half time. You say, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be singing and playing and doing all this music, geared towards you, the audience, and having you have that conversation with them in the midst of all this.
Well, I'm going to be on the front row.
You're going to go.
Oh, I'm going to go. You better go.
Father's Day.
I'm going to take the man.
What makes it easy? We've all played together.
Well, leaving home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Played at one time or another with each other. Mm-hmm. And Charles Fun and I were out on the road together. We did Harlem Suite with Stephanie Mills and Maurice Hines back in the late 80s. We were out there.
That's amazing.
Really? Okay.
So I just out of high school.
And we took off from Baltimore City, and we went out there and played some music together. So all of us have had a chance to play. Lauren's father and I played at the 1818. Doc, you remember the 1818?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the gentleman that owns that. You used to own that, you know? Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. The band.
Was that in Baltimore?
Yeah, yeah. Maryland Avenue area. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, and we wouldn't get finished until 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
sounds like that's what you
do. I got
do
to
on
tell
Sunday.
My band. <for this. laughs>
But, you know, that is crazy because, you know, John Lampkin, and then when they all get together, he's going to tell you these stories.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to tell you these stories about all the things that took place with him and all the his cohorts on stage. And Witt's going to mention his conversation with Bud Powell, you know, and Morgan.
Dinah Washington.
Yeah, yeah, and how they slept at his house.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Lee Morgan and Howie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
all of them.
Sidewind.
Yeah, that's right. So you got all these
people. Well, for my generation, it's really a fascination. I think we should be running, especially this generation of musicians, you know, in our mid-40s and under, who did not have the wonderful, but just by nature being born a little too late to experience a lot of what you guys have experienced. I mean, it's like sitting at the feet of the master. It's not like it is.
Right, right.
It is, especially as a musician, to sit at the feet of the masters. And here in Baltimore, Baltimore has created some of the most brilliant, brilliant musicians.
Yeah, and musicians, when you shouldn't even think about musicians, thinkers, because that's thinkers. What they are.
They are thinkers. And everything. I mean, exactly.
Look, we got all these people. We got Mark Steiner here. We have you here. You know, we have a bunch of people that you got to really look at. And the music that they're bringing is still current. I mean, we think it's because some of the pieces were wrote years ago. But it's current because you're articulated and you have a different spin on what you seen and heard, and you study through history, and it's played out right there.
That's right.
You know, it's sort of like mathematics. You put get it all together. Yes. I mean, you have the negative and the positive, but it balances out. You know,
right?
Yeah. That's right.
No, I just think when Henry wrote me about this, Henry Wong wrote me about this weekend. Yeah. I just said, you know, sure, we'll help promote this. This is it's really amazing.
It is awesome.
Fathers and sons coming together, playing and riffing and. Yeah. For an evening at Andy Music. This is very unique. This is very. He's really sad he can't be here. Yeah. Henry's taking care of his mom. But, But
it's interesting. Well,
you know, Mark, you know how unique it is, Mark.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember anything like this happening since I've been in Baltimore. You know, I grew up in Atlantic City. That's where I cut my teeth. That's where I fell in love with his music.
Not too far from us.
Right. But since 71, I've been in Atlantic City, in Baltimore since 1971, there has been nothing like this since the time I've been in Baltimore. Now, I don't know what happened prior to 1971, but for the 40-some years that I've lived in Baltimore, and I'm a Baltimorean, okay, you know, but for 47 years I've been here, there has been nothing like this. No concert. Mm-hmm. That has featured the fathers and sons who are playing the music, who are out playing the music. So that's, Mark, that's how unique it is.
Well, absolutely, it is.
It is unique.
So, I mean, so we want to encourage everybody to get there and be there.
Definitely.
8 o'clock Sunday night.
Andy Music.
This is
on
this
Charles Street.
Once a lifetime.
You know, because we don't know when it's going to happen again, if ever. So. Better catch this one.
You better come early and get that parking place. I'm telling you now.
and then there's that. So the Father's Day, father and son celebration this Sunday, June 15th, Father's Day, 8 p.m. at Andy Musique Live. This is the first Baltimore celebration that celebrates Father's Day with this true meaning of fathers and sons coming together for this incredible concert starting at 8 o'clock, and it'll be on stage. You can go to andymusiclive.com. That's A-N-D-I-E. MUSIKLIVE
.com. This is jazz, one show only. Very limited seating. Yeah. And they mean that.
Well, they couldn't have two shows.
Yeah.
No, one.
They'll blow us out. They'll blow us away.
They're for days. But
oh, yes, man. I hang out with the jazz cast. You'd be there for about 2 or 3 days.
They're going to reminisce, you know, how to get to talking and other things. You know, thanks for, you know, letting me get in here.
Are you kidding me?
No, this is fun. I mean, every time we have a conversation with you two in the studio, me in here with you two at the same time is really interesting because I listen to you all the time.
See? Oh, that
means
a lot.
I really do. I mean, I have to have the radio on wherever I'm going. I'm involved with it. You know, and you know, don't forget before you leave. Just before you leave, step off. He's coming with a person that I know you would like, Mark, Harvey Mason.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's going to be something else, you know.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Dr. John Lampkin II. Mm-hmm. He's a drummer. Right. He'll be there this Sunday, who directs the bands and coordinates music education at the University of Maryland, Eastern Shore, UMES.
Right. Another HBCU, that's mm-hmm. right.
This is uh-huh. with another good radio station.
Yeah, they sure do.
Another great radio station, and our friend Doc Manning. Right.
Thank you.
Host of In the Tradition here on WEA 80.9.
Oh, yes, which I listen
Monday
to.
Monday nights.
Yeah. I have some fun on there. I'm telling you, talking to people. I mean, God, you know, the conversations drift mm-hmm. into the music or vice versa, and it sets the stage for a lot of things. I mean, it's an honor for me to do that show. I mean, guys, I'm serious.
And we so need it. Yeah. We so need it.
Thank you for stopping by, Doc.
Thank you.
I'm glad you were on the music. Right. Look forward to seeing you, John Lankin. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark Stein.
You're not going nowhere. We're still here. It's Mark and Leah time. Leah and Mark time.
We're hanging out.
L&M's.
L&M's.
Cigarettes.
My father used to smoke
L&M's.
Those.
L&M's.
Yeah, unfortunately, he ripped
repercussions from L&M's,
yeah. I can't do polysyllabic today.
Don't worry about it. You don't have to think about it.
Thank you.
We're going to break with...
Can I just sing...
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Now he beats the drum. Now he stops.
Oh, yeah.
Chicoria.
Chicoria.
Born on this day, mm-hmm. 1941.
That's right.
Loves from Chicoria.
Yeah.
Me too.
Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
That's Chicoria.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
The one and the only.
I love Chicoria. I've always
Me
loved Chicoria.
Too. He's just so amazing. There's just so much. I don't know. When we talk about music, it's unprecedented for me because it just goes throughout life. It's like the soundtrack of our lives, you know, jazz and blues and so many of the indigenous African American musics and American musics, you know, it really is the soundtrack of our lives.
And I think that you know, people think of music as just nothing but something to entertain you.
Oh, it's so far beyond that.
It's part of who we are as a people. It's our culture. It speaks to us. It speaks about us.
It changes moods and attitudes. It is the galvanizer behind movements.
That's right.
You know, with social justice, there is no social justice movement without music.
I agree with that.
That's right. It's always there. Don't get me started.
I will get you started.
Okay, because I'll start preaching up in here. All right. Maybe the last time. Mm. And I'll just get started because I've been so filled lately, you know.
Have you? Why?
I've had such... incredible life experiences happening within the last month or two. And music has really been something that has kept me going. They haven't all been negative, but they've just been big. You know, that's what happens. You know, life throws things at you.
Yes,
and I've gotten some amazing invitations to perform at places that, you know, really want to hear the music from, like, Bessie Jones, you know, the folk church music, you know, sit down, servant, sit down. And we were asked to do a civil rights music show in France.
Really? So,
yeah, it's really amazing.
When's that going to happen?
2015, spring of 2015. That's how my world is. It's all scheduled. Well, I don't even know if I'll be breathing. Let's get to another praise.
So, you know, who's Bessie
divine.
Jones? Talk about Bessie Jones. She's
amazing, a singer from the Georgia Sea Islands.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, just an it was a whole group of singers. You know, she's part of a whole group of singers, and you know, your producers are quite familiar with her, and she sang some of the most amazing the music I grew up with in church. You know, I was singing, you know, maybe the last time, I don't know. You know, that's the type of music that she sang. These things that we just made up words to as we went along. I could have sworn when I was in those churches in North Carolina with my family that people just stood up and made up words and just sang whatever came
out.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? And I told you we were at Andy Music this past
Sunday.
And it was a singer-songwriter series, which I'm very rarely at. So I got to sing all of the songs I wrote. Yeah,
Bessie
this is Bessie Jones.
So
my hero. Let's listen to her a little bit.
Step
in the morning, spare me over and another year. Well, death walked up into the Santa's gate. I believe you have waited now a little too late. Your feet were not 102. Have a narrow chance if you ever put through. They cried, oh, death. Crying, oh, death in the morning. Oh, death. Despair me over in another year. Hey, what is this I see? Cold ice and hands all over me. He say I am death, no one can excel. I opened the doors of death in hell. He cried, Lord, death. Now,
okay,
man.
What can you say about that?
I mean,
that's authenticity.
Acapella just out there. Doesn't need anything around her. Just puts it in the universe. Just
that's right.
Ah.
Because it's a part. You know, Ralph Stanley sang a version of that in the bluegrass tradition. They see poor people were all poor people together singing the songs together.
Right.
And it became one of the standout songs in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
That's right.
That's right. Oh, Death.
That's right.
But, you know, for us, you know, these songs still keep us going. Doc said an amazing thing. You know how you take a song that was created back in the day, but for you it's new, and for the audience it's new because it's coming from you.
Right.
So this is why we still sing these songs from the tradition, because they never get old. The ideas are never old. Surviving, keep going, hope. Life is hard, but there's always hope. And that's what we get. That you always need that.
You always need that.
And you don't need an instrument to help you do that. You're the instrument.
Right.
You know,
and women like Bessie Jones teaches us that.
Amen.
You know, and the whole South Sea Islander singers.
Right. And all the folks, all the folks you've never heard of in the churches in the South and in the North, because, you know, the Great Migration.
Right, right.
You know, I went to church in Chicago, and it was like being in church in Mississippi because everybody was from there.
You know, I interviewed a guy the other week. It'll be on next week, I think, about Charles Marsh wrote this piece. He's been writing about the South because his family was slave owners. He wrote this whole piece about them. But he wrote his book on Charles Bonhoeffer, the German religious leader who stood up to Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came here in the 20s, what turned him around more than anything when he studied at Union Theological Seminary was his black seminary student with him named Fraser. Not Franklin Fraser, the famous guy, a different one.
Right.
But they became fast friends, and he started going to Abyssinian Baptist Church and started going to the black churches and hanging out with black people in New York and Harlem and then in the South. And it transformed his whole view of Christianity and transformed his whole view of the world and made him into a fighter because of what he saw. So, you know, there's
yeah, that's why we do what we do. That's why we still do it. You know, like with Umoja Gaelica, which you are so familiar with, you know, it transforms people's views of what they think is Christianity and what they think is religion and faith. And faith is something that doesn't have a religion attached to it.
Amen to that.
You know?
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
Gospel means good news.
That's it.
All right.
And the good news, bad news, we have to take a quick break. The good news is we're coming right back.
All right. I'm coming right back to hang out with my boys, Mark. Come on
Don't
down.
Go away.
Yeah. This is one of my favorites.
Sometimes I want to ball that jack. Sometimes I tell my honey come back. Sometimes I want to rap that jack. Sometimes I get a hump in my back. Sometimes I'm going over here. Sometimes I'm going to get my pal. Sometimes way down yonder. Sometimes tell my honey come back. Sometimes I want to rap that jack. Sometimes I get a hump in my back. Sometimes I'm going over here. Sometimes tell my honey come back.
Sometimes. Got a hump in my back.
Yeah. Now, we're playing this, Leah, because I'm Mark Steiner, by the way.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
And it's Cultural Crossroads time.
Yes, it is.
And we a note from our producer, Mark, got around the other side of the glass there, said, I first heard of Bessie Jones because of the electronic DJ Moby sampled
her
in one of his songs.
He sure did.
Did a whole album with samples from Outs from Alan Lomax's field recordings, and that's what I think he just played. Is that what you just played? Yes, is what he just played. Yes.
There you go. You know, Moby actually made a lot of these people brought it. It's a double-edged sword, you
what
know,
do you mean?
Because you go, oh, these people are so brilliant on their own. And it's such an unfortunate thing that people don't know their art on their own, just by themselves.
Right.
Like, you know, the Stones had to sing, I Just Want to Make Love to You. And then people go and say, oh, that's Muddy Waters, and then Muddy Waters gets famous. But that's good for the artists because they start to make money and they start to get recognized.
Right.
But it's unfortunate that it takes a white artist to put people out of them. Moby's white.
I don't know anything about Moby.
You don't know anything about Moby? He's a dance music guy. I like Moby a lot.
Moby,
you like who the heck is Moby? He's this bald guy.
I know Moby Dick, but
that's that boring book.
That's boring.
I read Moby Dick.
You thought it was boring?
I did.
Why did you think it was boring?
Because it was too many words, and I am a book reader.
Too many words.
Too many words to say one thing. I'm one of those people that like James Joyce. Okay, and James Joyce
and
has
that's
a lot
coming up. Monday's Bloomsday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's very cool.
Right? Is Monday Bloomsday? Right? Monday's Bloomsday, yeah.
Very cool. Why am I not there? I'm not the automatic choice for that.
I bet you people don't know what Bloomsday is, though.
Tell them.
You tell them.
No, because I don't.
You do know what it is. Ulysses.
Ulysses, of course.
The reading. People in Ireland read the book.
Yes.
And we read this day out loud. And
Ulysses was a life-changing book for me. I'm serious. Along with I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, and we'll be talking about that later. But
yes, that's, you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
But, yeah, Moby is important, and he brought out a lot of these Alan Lomax recordings where Lomax just went down south and recorded people singing and became very famous for doing that. You know, so I have mixed feelings about Alan Lomax. I'm so glad that he has put this stuff together.
And
it's in the Smithsonian. That's right. You know, and but he made good money doing it, you know, and I hope that the people who are the talent that gave it to him also did the same, made the money.
Yeah. And
you know, it's a frustrating thing.
It's frustrating.
For me.
And
and his son.
It is the, and his son, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where What did you talk about just a minute ago? Before we get to before the Cage Bird sings, I want to come to for a minute because talk about some more music, listen to, but and what I would think about with Maya Angelou. But it's to me, it's one of those. It's the piece of history that is so complex, and you it's more than just right and wrong and good and evil and black and white, no pun intended. But it is because of the nature of
Our relationships.
Of our relationships. Of the society was created, that the nature of slavery, the importation of African people into the Western Hemisphere created capitalism itself, created the wealth that controls Europe and America to this day.
You better believe it. Was built on hundreds of years of free labor.
So that I keep thinking of the poem by Ho Chi Minh, and the last four lines always stick in my head. The last four lines are, one has to walk through the cold and desolation of winter before you can feel the warmth and beauty of spring. In a larger historical sense, I feel that's where we are. You can't control existence and what life brings. You know what I'm saying?
You can't control it, and you can control it by getting rid of dastardly evil things, you know? But there's great beauty that comes out of great suffering. We see that in the Irish tradition and all the other traditions. When you think of Ho Chi Minh, I think of Maya Angelou, who was like a family member passing. I think of her in her poem where she says, "I am the dream and the hope of the slave. This has galvanized me all my life since I read it as a young 18-year-old married person." And I read I Knew Why the Caged Bird Sings, and that book told me I could do anything I wanted to, along with my many aunts who were Maya Angelou's to me, Lou's to me, you know. But I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I am here to talk for the fairness that was not given the slaves.
Right.
That's why I should be able to say that and understand the dynamics of what was going on. Because they couldn't speak up, but I can. Hallelujah. All right.
So, folks, join us if you like. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. We're going to play some music that we've been thinking about a great deal and playing to ourselves and sharing with you all. And you can share some of your music and things you've been reading. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to the Facebook pages. Or you can... tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888.
He's down with all the social media.
That's it.
I love that.
That's it. The producer got me up there on Instagram and all that kind of stuff.
Do you know what Instagram is, baby?
I don't
baby?
Know they got it up there, though.
What's Pinterest, Mark, real quick?
Say what?
Pinterest.
You tell me.
You know what Facebook is, though.
I know what that is.
Okay. Oh, my God, it's so funny.
Mocking me there on my own
show. I don't mock Mark Steiner. I love Mark Steiner. But, you know, you got to know what Pinterest is. I just was told last week, so it's okay.
Okay, so that's great.
I just downloaded the app.
Okay. What is it?
It's a social media app or whatever, you know, that you can pin your interest literally on the website and have people follow you. You get great recipes and ideas and art. And
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you have to check it out. You would like it. As soon as you click to understanding it, like me, I was looking like, what is this? And my friend keeps saying, you'll love this, you'll love this. But please call in and tell us what you're listening
to.
Right. And I would love some book recommendations from the listeners.
Yeah,
they always have such great ideas, you know, and reading such great things. I'm reading, again, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings because of Maya. And I'm reading it again in Heart of a Woman. And I'm reading her poetry. And I just read Phenomenal Woman again to myself, and it inspires me. You know, Pretty Women Wonder Where My Secret Lies. Mm. It's in the curve of my things, and you know, Pretty Women Wonder Where My Secret Lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size, but when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal Woman, That's Me. How many women did that inspire?
And I'll tell you, we're going to go to the phones here, but I'll tell you that Maya Angelou was, when we did the show about her, I remember when I first got the copy of the book, While the Cage Bird Sings. And it was shortly after, it was given to me in 1972 to read.
Right.
And the man who gave it to me was
I was six.
You were six.
I was 72.
Why did you have to say that?
I just wanted to share. Because, but listen to how much she spans generations, though, because I had the chance to meet her, you know, and she inspired me the same way in 1983 or 84 when someone gave me a copy of I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings.
It was the man who gave it to me was a guy named Mick McGuire, who became chairman of the Howard University Political Science Department. He was my advisor for my thesis back in 1972 and my bachelor's thesis. And he was at Tullis Africana Studies in American History.
Right.
He was killed in North Carolina when he was doing work with making workers' co-ops. He was the son of the people who owned the McGuire funeral homes in D.C., black funeral home family.
Big funeral.
And so Mick was a big influence in my life, and he gave me this book, and it really hit me. And then we had an idea here because of the piece we read about how she loved sex workers because she was a sex worker.
Yes, that's right.
And that's part of what this book comes out of, right?
Well, it comes out of many of her experiences. That's just one of them.
That's one of them. But yeah. So we want to actually give this book to a bunch of women who came out of that world and do a conversation with them about the book and what the book says to them.
We should do it. I have given this book to so many people, and as one of your producers knows, I give books away because I love Kindred so much. I sent him a copy of Kindred, and I sure hope he read it. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
It's one of the great books. Shall we hear what listeners are thinking?
Yeah.
Want to do that?
Are they here? Go on, let's listen.
410-319-8888. Gary in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, y'all. Boy, y'all are really rocking it today.
Thank you, Gary.
Y'all are still rocking it. You asked what books we're reading, and, you know, I'm looking at three of the books I'm reading, The Meaning of Freedom by Angela Davis.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Vulture's Picnic by Greg Palast. And American Negro Slave Revolts by Herbert Apfecker.
Oh, that's an old ancient text.
Yeah,
good text.
But it's good. Yeah. It's great.
1943. And let us remember that today, in 1963, when I was 10 years old, Medgar Evers was assassinated by Byron Della Beckwith.
We honored
it's
him
today,
last hour.
That's right.
We honored
Wonderful.
Him last
yeah,
hour.
And I figured, even though I didn't hear it, I figured that, Mark, you had probably announced that, you know. And, you know, the bottom line is we are the ones that we have been waiting for.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm going to let you guys keep on grooving. And since I have three sons, I'm going to try my best to show up at Andy Music at 8 o'clock on Sunday with my three sons named Biko, Mandela, and Gabron.
Oh, wonderful.
Good names, brother.
Very good names. Very good names. And you won't be disappointed by the music, that's for sure.
Gary is a man who's come to many of our events. I've met him. I'm lucky enough to meet him, Gary Nelson. He's one of the men that I look up to because he's one of those people who runs into fires and brings people out.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of our firemen.
All right, now. I love that. I love that metaphor. He's one of our firemen. We need a lot. We still need them.
Yes, we do.
And fire women. Fire people.
Women. Fire people.
That's right.
Fire
we
persons.
Shoot. This is a person.
410-319.
That's right. Let's get it politically correct.
Let's put it where it needs to be.
Right. And just correct.
Just right.
Just right.
Just right.
Exactly.
Just right.
That's right.
410-319-8888. Daryl, you're on the air.
Hi, Daryl.
Hi.
Hi, Daryl.
I'm the one that made the contribution a couple days back. Lifetime member.
Oh, well, congratulations.
All right.
Thank you.
And I wanted to recommend two books by Ivan Van Sertima.
Oh, okay.
They Came Before Columbus.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, right. Yes.
And Blacks in Science, Ancient and Modern.
Wonderful, wonderful recommendations.
We inspire a lot of people and get us on the right track to recognize who we are.
You better believe it. I always talk about that in terms of Timbuktu and Greek thought, and you know how Timbuktu was the first real library and university in Timbuktu. And, you know, we always give the Greeks credit. The Greeks came there. and studied. You know, we just have to make it real. It's not like, oh, I'm trying to one-up you. It's just the reality. And those who write down history are usually the winners.
Right.
You know?
And well, the history is being rewritten now because it needs to be rewritten.
Yes.
And we did a piece the other day, just in World in our Day in History, because of the anniversary of when the French defeated the last great African Muslim empire, Sitka Empire, in what is now Mali and Chad. And what people don't realize is about that whole culture there was that it was a Muslim culture that was one of the was an open society. It was
right.
Sufi. That one of the pieces I learned about just reading The Empire of Necessity by Grandin, which is about built around the Benitos.
Can we put these books on your website?
Yeah.
The recommendations from the callers as well.
We should. We can. We will do all that. And I learned in that book that many, a huge number of the slaves who were Muslim who were brought here came from these places that were the empires. Mm-hmm. And in those societies, women in those Muslim societies, parts of West Africa, mm-hmm. were also reading the Quran, not just the men.
Right.
It was a very and we don't. It's a world that we need to kind of reinvent because we look at Boko Haram, the madmen who kidnapped those girls in Nigeria.
Right. But they're not. They don't define
that's
Islam.
It. That's not it.
No,
it doesn't define African Islam either.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And I think that is something that is not given to the world enough in our mainstream media, an understanding of what Islam really is, and the great thinkers. And the technologies that came from Islamic societies.
Right.
You know, this is the things that people need to hear about. And to keep pushing fear in association with a group of people and religion. You know,
right.
This is why I say we are the dream and we have to hold on to the I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I am here to tell what's going on.
And what
and
can
you
come.
Are here, and what
and
can
what
come.
Can come.
And what will be.
What
is and what will be. Amen.
So let's play some of the music that we brought.
Mine totally doesn't correlate to anything that we're talking
I'll
about.
I'll show this one because this one that might do.
Okay.
And it's something that I have always loved, and I play it all the time when I'm driving. Mm-hmm. It came from the CD Playing for Change.
Oh, I love Playing for Change.
And this is Stand By Me.
Oh, I love it.
I love the way they do Stand By
yes.
Me.
Yes. People from all over the world.
All over the world.
No matter where you go in life, you're going to need somebody to stand by you. Money you got, all the friends you got, you gonna need somebody to stand by you. When the night has come and the land is dark and that moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't shed one tear.
Just as long as you stand by me.
Ow!
Oh, we're going on the road.
That's it.
Darling, darling, stand.
I love that song so much.
Oh, the poor listeners.
And the way they do it.
I love it too.
I was allowed to key that last line, but the way this album was made is, as you were just saying, that they took people singing the song, cuts from all over the globe.
That's right.
Every culture in Senegal, in South Africa, in India,
yeah.
in France,
and all
in
over
Italy,
Europe,
all over the United States,
yeah.
and everywhere.
Lead singers in Amsterdam, street musicians. That's right. You know, people of color in Amsterdam, who you don't often see,
right.
who are Dutch, who were born there, but are influenced by African music because they are also African Dutch. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, before you came in, the sister Francine Hauser was here, who's married to Kim. She was born in Germany.
There you go.
See,
there you go. The wonderful thing about traveling is. It opens your mind because you meet so many people you don't even know exist, you know, and it makes you a much more tolerant person.
There's no question about that.
You know? So what I've been listening to a lot of, I hope it's queued up, is Bob Marley. You know, and I think Bob Marley never goes away. My Legend CD has gone. I don't know. I've bought it 3 times already. I've worn it out so much. I've bought it three times.
Put it on here. Why don't you put it on your where is that?
Where is what?
This.
I did put it on. It's digitized.
In the cloud?
It's in the cloud. It's out there, you know. How else can I listen to it when I'm traveling and I'm listening to airplane music? Mm-mm. I put on Bob Marley, you know. And I like, you know, Three Little Birds and One Love.
What's this?
Let's switch it.
Here we go.
This one. Oh, yeah.
Belly full, but we hungry.
Hungry. That's right. That's how we feel.
He was.
Oh, I can't tell you what Bob Marley still means to me. And let me tell you how bizarre this is. Here I am, a musician. You know, I played piano before I sang and everything. And I was really introduced to Bob Marley by my Irish friend. A fellow blues lover.
Really?
When I was in Europe. I love Bob Marley. I mean, reggae wasn't something huge in my world. It just wasn't, you know. And
blues, gospel, jazz, yeah, all that, were.
Yeah, you know,
right.
Those kind
classical
of things.
Even, right?
Classical, right. I sing classically.
Right, when you're an opera singer and
right,
things like that. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Right.
But reggae wasn't something I was around, I was exposed to. He said, Leah, you have Bob Marley stuff? I said, yeah, I've heard of him. And he said, I'm going to give you the CD, and you just listen. After I listened, it changed my world. I wanted to become a reggae singer. I was like, I could do anything. But I did. I did a little backup on a reggae album about 10 years ago or so. And I was just like, I'm Jamaica myself out, you know? I was like, okay, all right. But when you hear Redemption Song, you hear genius. That's simplicity. And it's genius.
Do we have that queued up?
You know,
do we have that up
Redemption
there?
Song.
Fingers up in the air, that means it's coming. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
You got to hear Redemption Song. I can keep talking about it. Can you talk about Bob Marley? And there it is. Oh.
Old pirates, yes, they rabbi. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have,
redemption songs.
Yes.
Redemption
yes.
songs. Yes.
Won't you help me sing these songs of freedom? That's all I ever have. This is how I feel. Redemption songs.
Leah Gilmore.
Mark Steiner.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, my dear.
So we'll have to take a brief hiatus and stuff while we figure out what we're doing next, right?
That's right.
But we're coming back.
That's right.
We're coming back. Thank you, Leah Gilmore.
Thank you, sweetheart. It's been an amazing experience, and it will continue to be.
That's right. It will.
Okay.
I want to remind folks where we leave each other. That tonight, Thursday, June 12th, 2014, the Baltimore Food and Faith Project, Maryland, D.C., and Northern Virginia Interfaith Power and Light, and the Mark Steiner Show will hold the Donating Well Good Food Gathering. Mm-hmm. The Donating Well Gathering will be the third good food gathering out of four. It takes place tonight at the Franciscan Center, 101 West 23rd Street, 101 West 23rd Street at 7 p.m. The gathering features Arthur Morgan of Greater Baltimore and Hamilton Crop Circle, Willie Flowers of Park Heights Community Health Alliance, and IFA Community Garden, Christian Metzger of the Franciscan Center, and Denise Dorsey of My Brother's Keeper. Each speaker has developed really innovative ways to provide nutritious, high-quality foods to underserved populations
Amen.
In our community.
Yes.
So I'm going to moderate this discussion, and you can find out more information at steinershow.org and our Facebook page, or just come on over. 7 o'clock tonight, 101 West 23rd Street at the Franciscan Center. We'll be taping it for air on our program next Tuesday.
This is wonderful. This is wonderful.
So we'll be doing that.
Yes.
So be there for that.
Be there.
So we are talking about food and freedom here every Tuesday on Soundbites, and that's one of our series we're doing with the Center of Livable Futures Food and Faith Project. So,
all right.
Yes. So it's good to have you all with us today, Leah. Always great to have you here in studio.
It's always great to be here, my dear.
It's just, I just can't imagine doing a show without you being part of it.
Yeah.
It's
well,
good to have you here.
I love it, and I love you.
Love you, too.
Okay.
Reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to Common Core, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's one word, MarylandEducators.org. And the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. That is the credit union for all the people in our community. It is a community that offers a full range of financial services, and it's helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. It's a credit union, not just a bank, belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. More information, www.mecu.com.
There you go.
There we go. And now I can say thank you once again, Leah Gilmore.
Thank you, Mark Steiner.
Cultural Crossroads.
I love it. Cultural Crossroads has been a blessing.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andre Melton. Our interns are Sienna Greaves, Matt Malice, and Alex Boston. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, find information about our guests, the work they do, what they talked about on this program, just go to steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download all of our podcasts now on iTunes. There is a Mark Steiner Show app.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. And for Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM. I'm Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
Take care.
Friends. Ones we can't depend on. Friends. How many of us have them? Friends. Before we go any further, let's be friends.
Friends are worries every day, but most of the time in the wrong way. But you can look the world up again and again, but the dictionary doesn't know the meaning of friends. And if you ask me, I couldn't be much help, cause a friend is somebody you judge for yourself. Some are okay and they treat you real cool, some are